Welcome, everyone, to the Patty Gentile Show. I'm your host, Patty Gentile, and with me in studio, as always, is my producer, John Iannuzzi. You want to say hello?
Patty, it's going to be winter before we realize it. I think we set the clocks back soon, right? A couple of weeks.
Yes, I'm very excited about that because I am, because you get an extra hour of sleep that particular day. I was logging in today on my calendar, something that's scheduled on the Saturday of that weekend, November 1st, and something that's scheduled on the next day, November 2nd, and the next day is Sunday. And when I look at my clocks, I'm going to be like, oh, I've got an extra hour. After that, though, what's tough is all this darkness, you know, such a shorter period of daylight every day. And that's tough. It's deceiving in the morning. You really don't have an idea what real time it is because the sun's not rising until what, closer to 7 a.m.
Correct.
Eastern time, what we're on. But here's something that goes along once again. This is our third show in a row that we're talking about who makes the best pizza in our poll question. But why I'm bringing up another item about that is because I found out that on October 22nd, that was National Tavern Style Pizza Day. Now, okay, by your expression, I can tell you know what tavern style pizza
oh,
is.
Sure.
Oh, sure.
Okay. I'm a fan, even if my stomach isn't.
Oh, okay.
I find it a bit hard to digest, but boy, is it tasty.
Well, for all these other listeners who don't know what tavern style pizza is, and I didn't realize it either, it's thin crust pizza. That's what I
heard.
It
tends to be a little more on the oily side, too.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, well, at least here in the Northeast.
All right. I also want to throw out with that poll question about who makes the best pizza. If you make the best pizza, you think you make the best pizza, go ahead and let us know your recipe, because I will tell you, my father made the best pizza. I swear he made the dough fresh. And you just mentioned oil. And he used to put a lot of olive oil on the pizza pan while he spread out the dough so he could spread it out nice. And I always had olive oil under it, made homemade sauce. We even used to grade our own, I'm going to call it mozzarella, but I'm Italian and you are too. And we call it mozzarella in Italian. And we used to buy the big round chunk of mozzarella cheese and then grate it ourselves over the pizza. And then, of course, put anything else you want on it. But our home, we really liked the plain cheese pizza a lot because it was just so delicious. Now, my dad didn't make a thin crust pizza. And so I'm not partial to thin crust pizza, even though it's less fattening, less on the carbs. So they're calling that flatbread pizza, I believe.
Flatbread pizza?
Right. There's thin crust and now there's flatbread pizza that keeps down the carbs when you're having pizza. So we're updating this poll question about who makes the best pizza to include tavern style pizza as well as your own homemade pizza. And we seem to be going into food these days. Maybe it's a sign.
I think it is a natural progression.
Do you think? Because, right? The weather. You're talking about the cold.
And where we're broadcasting. I mean, you know, from Providence to Boston, you got some of the best options on this coast.
All up Maine coast. In terms of seafood, oh my God, from Maine.
Seafood and Italian food. I forget, listen, I also produce a program that's sponsored by the NIAF, National Italian American Foundation, which I come to realize how many Italian Americans call New England home, and it's more than New Jersey, which is I did
Wow.
not know.
Oh my
New
God, I
Jersey and
wouldn't
New
have.
York are after Massachusetts, Rhode Island, and Connecticut.
But I bet not more than Staten Island. Staten Island is
That's
known
probably true, yeah.
for its population, so I'll
But
give a
there is
shout out there.
a tremendous amount of Italian Americans in the listening area right now, in earshot of your voice.
Right? Well, welcome to all, because we can all share our heritage of food. So we had a lot of feedback about people's favorite Halloween costumes. I don't know if you had any to read, John, but.
The only thing I'll tell you is that on social media, the amount of people who said what I said resonated, and I guess you back this up, which is that a lot of people wore the same costume or a homemade costume for a couple of years in a row. So hand-me-downs are not as uncommon as I thought, which is very funny because with my daughter's generation now, I could never get away with that. I could never suggest to my daughter she'd be the same thing again for Halloween as she was last year. She would look at me like I was crazy. But
Right.
apparently, in the 70s and 80s, it was a lot more common.
Yeah. Well, speaking of your costumes that you wore, you mentioned that you wore what, three or four times was the ET costume.
It was big in 1983, 4, you know?
One of my sisters, this is my younger sister, I'm a middle child. She cracked up. She texted me in the middle of the show, saying that she thought you doing the Frankenstein costume at a bar was funny, and then she just cracked up about the ET that you were ET like three or four times in a
Won a
row.
$100 gift certificate to that bar restaurant.
Oh, you did? Oh, okay. Well, very cool. Another feedback came from my older sister. She actually texts me. She listened to the replay. We replay our show on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. We are launch live on Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. This is Eastern Standard Time. And then you, of course, thank you very much. Upload the weekend show on Mondays to my podcast, which is called Fighting the Good Fight with Patricia Gentile. And so you get to subscribe and get and you're not going to miss, you get notified, you won't miss a weekend show. But
If I could, Patty, thank the folks on Facebook who take the time to then share the show with their friends and their friends groups. We appreciate those people. Keep that up.
oh, you have to take the time for that. Thank you so much, because our friends are taking the time to do that. So thank you very much that you enjoyed it so much that you'll actually, follow through and do the sharing. Really appreciate that. We want everybody to have a good time and get some good information out of the show. So I'm all about the ripple effect. I love that. Drop the pebble and throw a pebble in the pond and watch the ripple effect to the shore. So I'm all about that. Thank you, everyone. My older sister, she mentioned the Mystic Connecticut and Mystic Pizza. She loved that movie with Julia Roberts that you mentioned. And she said, next time I'm in that area, she says, I'll have to go to Mystic Pizza. That was a cool thing for Mystic Pizza down in Mystic, Connecticut there. I do want to mention that both my sisters both mentioned they're fans of yours. They're like, your producer John is really cool.
Well,
Both of them said
listen, I
that.
appreciate that. I've managed to stay gainfully employed in the broadcasting business for 3 decades, which is not
Wow.
easy to do, Patty. So
No.
I must love this on some level.
Yes. Yeah, you are. You're passionate and you're a master. You're a master at what you do. That's my experience. So another national day that was celebrated on October 20th was National Sasquatch Day. Am I a believer? I don't know.
Maybe our station, maybe our sister stations in Vermont, and maybe you're up your way in New Hampshire and Maine.
Right?
More so than I don't think there's a lot of Sasquatch in Newport, Rhode Island.
I come from the southern Adirondack Mountain region, born and raised in southern Adirondack Mountains. At the very northern top of the Adirondack Mountains is like the St. Lawrence Seaway, and I believe that is where the Loch Ness Monster is. So anytime I
Nessie, they call Nessie.
Nessie. I watch one of those programs that does a documentary about, something like Sasquatch or the Loch Ness, or Bigfoot. They start making me think about the possibility of it, but I
Gotta
can't
have
say I'm
an open mind, right?
right. So I will put that out there as a poll question. Are you a believer of
That's a good one.
Sasquatch, Bigfoot, right? Or the Loch Ness Monster? And, go to WADK.com. And once again, pull down the on-air drop menu, click on Patricia Gentile, and click on contact and let us know. So our guest today and this segment is Nathan McPherson, and he's a tax defense attorney who's going to talk about cryptocurrency and not just in the civil and criminal tax area, but just in general, civil and criminal. Problems around cryptocurrency. And so you really want to hear about this. Come on back and we'll bring on. Oh, I have a great story that I talked to Nathan about on the side that I'm going to bring to you. Welcome back, everyone, to the Patty Gentile Show. I'm your host, Patty Gentile. And our guest after the next break is Nathan McPherson. And he's a second-generation tax defense attorney with the McPherson Group. They're tax defense attorneys that practice nationwide, and they focus on federal and state civil and criminal tax defense. It includes, complex income tax and employment audits, trusts and offshore issues, white collar crime, such as money laundering, gold, and cryptocurrency issues, including unlicensed money transmissions. So I wanted to have Nathan on because he is very, he's an expert in dealing with the civil and criminal issues of cryptocurrency, but he can also explain in layman terms what cryptocurrency is and how people can get into trouble by even being involved in cryptocurrency, and not just with the IRS, but with the federal government, with the law. And so one of the cases that he was telling me about when we were talking the other day was that there was a recent case. It was settled in October of 2024, so very recent. And it was about this gentleman named Roger, and I hope I pronounce his last name right, Ver, VER. And starting in 2011, he became best known as the first investor in Bitcoin. And he also became well known as an evangelist of cryptocurrency. So he became known for his evangelism of cryptocurrency, telling people you should really get into Bitcoin. He was promoting Bitcoin. Now, I just want to say, and Nathan will explain this, that Bitcoin is just a type of cryptocurrency. Bitcoin is not cryptocurrency. It's a type of cryptocurrency. So Nathan will explain that. But this Roger Ver was, as they say, evangelizing people into this world of buying Bitcoin. And he became known as Bitcoin Jesus. That's exactly what he was being named. So early on, he saw that he was going to be making tons of money, and he didn't want to pay his taxes. And you know, who does? But he didn't want to. He willfully wanted didn't want to report his Bitcoin on his tax returns and pay the taxes. So his Bitcoin gain, let's put that there, gain. And so he expatriated, meaning he moved out of the United States into the Caribbean, one of the Caribbean islands, and which was considered a tax haven. And except he didn't do that quite right, because a lot of people don't know that there's an exit tax when you leave the country, when you really expatriate the country. I've actually done those type of reporting and calculations for clients who've done that, that I've had in the past. So a lot of people don't know this exit tax exists, and he didn't pay his. And so he was caught that way, but it rolled into the investigation, rolled into that he had thousands of bitcoins that back then, when he expatriated, was in 2014, were worth millions and millions. And right now, those same coins would be worth billions, to be honest with you. And I just want to backtrack and say this exit tax when you leave the country is if you have more than a certain amount of money. Well, of course, with his millions of worth in Bitcoin alone, he definitely needed to pay an exit tax. So he was prosecuted, and in October of 2024, he made this deal with the Department of Justice to get what they call a deferral of the prosecution, or a deferred prosecution agreement. And it really means that as long as you're good for a certain period of time, could be a year, it could be 3 years, you don't get in any trouble. It depended on whatever he negotiated. The Attorney General's Office of the United States, or in that area, was not going to prosecute you for willful failure to properly report Bitcoin holdings on your tax return. So the old adage is you can't buy your way out of prison, but that's not true in this case, because he paid $50 million of taxes, interest, and penalties he paid to our federal government, and he got out of being prosecuted. My understanding now, from talking to Nathan, because this happened in October of 2024, but the current administration's policy is changed. That type of deferred prosecution agreement for this type of crime. And I don't really know what's involved and why they would make that kind of a deal anyway. But the associate deputy attorney general on that case, on that Bitcoin case, had a different take, and he said, "This resolution sends a clear message. Whether you deal in dollars or digital assets, you must file accurate returns and pay what you owe." And so we'll be listening to Nathan after the break. Very interesting stuff he has. And at the end of the show, my coaching corner, I'm going to discuss with you about trying to audit proof by understanding the proper record keeping and reporting of your digital asset transactions and holdings. So come on back. You will want to hear what Nathan espouses to.
How would you like to get a free?
Welcome back, everyone, from the break. This is the Patty Gentile Show, and I'm your host, Patty Gentile. And as I mentioned before the break, our guest today is Nathan MacPherson. So welcome, Nathan. Thank you for being on.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Looking at what it is that you could talk about this, I think we all just need to start from the beginning and ask you, what is cryptocurrency?
So cryptocurrency is a form of money, and maybe we should back up and discuss what money is in general. Money is a means of trade. I sell my legal services, for instance, and I need to buy food, right? So on the one hand, I could get with a butcher and a baker and so forth and trade legal services for some steaks and bread and whatever, but there's going to be a mismatch, right? So we need some medium of exchange. And historically, that was gold, silver, and copper, and also some other items like that. But, you know, we all know about gold coins, silver coins, copper coins, and they would be of a specific weight. So they'd be minted by the government. We all know the story from the Bible of Jesus saying, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, because he was holding a denarius. It had the imprint of Caesar, so that you knew it was guaranteed by Caesar to be of a certain weight. Fast forward to our time, and we have Federal Reserve notes in the United States. So we have US dollars. In most of Europe, they use the euro, minted by the European Central Bank. England, of course, uses the British pound, and so forth. And those are all what we call fiat currency. So they're produced by the government and guaranteed by basically by the court system of the government to be a legitimate means of exchange. One notable thing to do with my practice is in every jurisdiction, you must pay your taxes in that jurisdiction's currency. So in the US, you have to pay taxes with US dollars, not with euro, not with pounds, not with Brazilian reais or whatever, not also with Bitcoin. It has to be converted to dollars. So Bitcoin is a new form of exchange that's based on a math formula. I should say Bitcoin is sort of like saying Kleenex. Bitcoin is one brand. It was, I believe, the first mover in this. It's the most popular, the most ubiquitous, thus like calling a tissue a Kleenex. We call all cryptocurrency Bitcoin, but it's a mathematical formula. And I forget the founder of Bitcoin. We don't even know a whole lot about him or where he was, somewhere in Asia, from what I understand. And he created this mathematical formula that does two things. One is every time you trade a coin or a part of a coin, it's all electronic. So you can even give, 0.001 Bitcoin to somebody and so forth. But each trade contains in it the information from the last trade. So you can see that it originated with that guy who created Bitcoin, or it was mined by somebody in the future, and we'll get to that in a second. And then it was traded to this person, to this person, to this person. So there's this information in there that legitimizes so that you know it's real, it's not counterfeit, right? We all know about people counterfeiting dollars or other currencies. You know, you make $100 bills in your basement and you go pass them off. That's why there's that little pen. If you use $100, say at the grocery store or whatever, they whip out that pen to see if it's real. So Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies contain self-authentication in the math formula, and there will be a finite number of these coins. So eventually somebody will mine, and I use quotes for that word because it's not mining with a dump truck and an excavator, but rather with a computer. Somebody will mine the last coin, and the mathematical formula will be to an end where no new coins can be created.
The civil and criminal tax issues, is it strictly tax or just issues in general about this? Like I'm hearing you mention that there's a way to authenticate. There's a self-authentication built into this mathematical formula. Of course, we don't have to just talk about tax issues, civil and criminal. Just in general, there's civil and criminal issues around cryptocurrency.
Yes, so, and I've had several criminal cases regarding cryptocurrency. If you want to get dollars from here to there, you either have to carry a big bag of $100 bills, or you have to go through Wells Fargo, Bank of America, something like that, and send the money, which is all highly regulated, of course. And it's impractical. It's not practical to send or to carry, say, $5 million of cash with you, whether it's in a car, on an airplane. Obviously, you're not going to get through TSA with it and so forth. Whereas cryptocurrency is traded via platforms and wallets. So basically, you have an app on your iPhone, somebody else has an app on his iPhone, you just push a button, and now that person has however many coins in his wallet, and it does not go through any regulator and so forth. So clearly, this is going to be good for black market transactions. You can instantly send money across the world, boom. My clients had been exchanging cash for cryptocurrency. Somebody deposits money into my client's bank account, my client sends the cryptocurrency, or vice versa. And in one case, one of the people sending cash to my client or receiving cash from my client ended up being an undercover agent. And in this case, my client lived and worked in California, but had mailed cash to New York State. So my client was indicted on Long Island. Talk about the long arm of the law going from Long Island, reaching all the way over to California, about 3,000 miles away. Now, of course, in all these cases, my clients didn't know that they were, at least didn't consciously know they were trading with nefarious people, drug dealers and so forth. But they thought, hey, this is the wonderful thing. It's the libertarian utopia, cryptocurrency. It's the latest and greatest. And they just wanted to facilitate the market. And you make good money trading that way. Well, the unfortunate thing is a lot of these trades were with drug dealers. Some of them were with people who go around neighborhoods putting flyers out, hey, we'll fix your roof for you. And literally, the little old lady in the house answers the door and they say, hey, I notice your shingles are looking pretty bad on your roof. We're going to be through the neighborhood. We can put on a new roof next week. Give us a down payment. She writes a check for $1,000. They put the check in my client's account. My client sends the cryptocurrency and it goes to somebody in some other country, who knows where. And it was actually a nationwide crime ring going around. I learned that Smurfs aren't just a cartoon from Northern Europe, but actually, people who go around gathering, and it's a whole coordinated effort on stealing money and then laundering the money. So the cryptocurrency is used to launder money.
Did you say they call this crime ring Smurfs?
Some of the actors in it are Smurfs. You have mules are, like carrying the burden, they're carrying the money. Smurfs are going around collecting in the neighborhoods, I think.
Oh my God, this is a
So
whole
there's an
kind.
interesting terminology that goes along with this.
Right.
And this is the reason then that Congress passed a law requiring registration with FinCEN, that's the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, federal government. And most states also require registration with a similar state agency to be what's called a licensed money transmitter. Like Western Union, right? Everybody knows about Western Union or getting a US postal money order. So Western Union is a registered or a licensed money transmitter. So you go to the local Western Union office and they can send the money to somebody else. So if you're going to be exchanging crypto for cash, that's excluded. If you're just buying a car and the guy wants to be paid in cryptocurrency, that's one thing. But if you're just in the business of exchanging cash for crypto for cash back and forth, you need to be registered at least with FinCEN. And then most of the states, not all of them, but many of them require state registration as well. And some states have then risen up as crypto friendly. Wyoming is one of those. Puerto Rico is another, not a state, but a US territory that's quite friendly. And so people are, locating in jurisdictions that are friendly for it. It's causing interesting economic activity and movements around the country to create hubs of it. But this licensing requirement is big, as well as then, why? So why was an IRS special agent sitting there? Another interesting thing before I get to that question is often the US Secret Service is part of these investigations.
Oh
And we
my
all think of
God.
the Secret Service as the people, dressed in suits with the earbuds, they're guarding the president, right? But they also are guarding our currency, our monetary system historically. They had a role with protecting the money supply of the United States. And so Secret Service agents investigate financial crimes involving cryptocurrency as well. But the IRS is often behind to do in part with the civil issue of the need to report your cryptocurrency trades. So it's the same as if you're buying and selling stock, Apple computer stock, Microsoft, IBM, whatever stocks you're buying and selling. Every time you sell Apple stock, you have to report it on your tax return, capital gain, capital loss, long term, short term, et cetera. And So that's also a requirement with cryptocurrency. One thing that really gets people in trouble with cryptocurrency is it's common to exchange one currency for another. So say you trade Bitcoin for Litecoin. You never go into US dollars. You don't generally trade IBM stock for Apple stock, right? You normally would cash it out, get the cash, and then buy the other one.
Nathan, thank you so much because this won't be the end. We have more, I'm sure, to discuss down the road
Yes.
about this cryptocurrency. How can people reach you?
I'm available at 1-800-BEAT-IRS or beatirs.com.
Thank you so much for being on. We appreciate it. We'll have you back. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, welcome back, everyone. Wasn't that interesting listening to Nathan McPherson talk about cryptocurrency? And I was very surprised to hear that even our Secret Service is involved in the safeguarding of our monetary system. That was very interesting stuff. So at this point, what I mentioned at the beginning of our show is that I wanted to discuss with you how to audit proof, I'm going to call all audit proof your tax return when you have digital asset transactions. And that's what cryptocurrency is. It's a digital asset. And you want to know how to do the record keeping and how to do the reporting on your tax returns. And, you know, Nathan mentioned that this is really the federal government is quite interested in monitoring these transactions and why, for good reasons, such as black market transactions and money laundering and how easy it is to send money across the world. And so it does cause for some monitoring, no doubt about it. What you need to understand, as we talked about, what a digital asset is. And for the United States tax purposes, a digital asset is considered property, not currency. Because as Nathan mentioned, our currency of the United States is the dollar. And a digital asset is stored electronically. And it can be bought, it can be sold, it can be owned, it can be transferred or traded. So anytime you're either buying, selling, acquiring, which they call in the crypto language, mining, whether you transfer, you want to do a Bitcoin and you want to transfer it to someone else to pay for goods or services or trade it. You want to trade for Bitcoin for another type of cryptocurrency, another type. The tax definition of a digital asset is any digital representation of value that's recorded as cryptocurrency, and it is something that you have acquired. The IRS does ask on our federal income tax returns, they ask the question, there is a question, it's a yes or no question, that just simply asks, at any time during the tax year, did you A, receive as a reward, award, payment for property or services, or B, sell, exchange, or otherwise dispose of a digital asset or a financial interest in a digital asset? And this is a simple yes or no question, but to know if you simply answer yes or no is on the IRS.gov. in on the website, on the homepage, in the search box, you want to type in digital assets. And the answer to the digital asset questions is listed. For example, if you didn't have digital asset transactions, you enter no, and they say check no in the digital assets box if you, and they just lay it out, okay, and that's a no answer, and what would be a yes answer. And how to report digital asset transactions is you have to keep records of every time you move a digital asset. I don't care if you're transferring it to pay for services or a product, if you're moving it to trade it for a Bitcoin to a different type of coin, if you're actually exchanging it into dollars, every time you move a digital asset, you want to put down the market value at the time of that asset. You want to record that in market value measured in US dollars. And the IRS is, well, the Internal Revenue Code and regulations are requiring taxpayers to maintain sufficient records to establish the positions that they're taking on your federal income tax return, i.e., what an auditor is going to ask you to provide if they want to see that you're calculating the gain or loss, capital gain or loss on the sale of such an asset, or really what the value you have, or the fact that you didn't buy anything with it, or you just traded or maybe exchanged and don't have a capital gain or loss. They want to see how you've moved around your digital asset. And then you need to know the correct form on your federal tax returns, the correct forms, not just one form, on your federal tax return that you're reporting. You could be a business doing a Schedule C sole proprietorship and you're accepting digital assets as payment for your products or services, or you're just an investor. And so there's capital gain or loss. But if you have any questions, please go to newenglandtaxrelief.com and contact me for a complimentary consultation, telephone consultation. We can talk about cryptocurrency if you're concerned about what you've been doing with it, or you want to make a move with it and you want to know how to what the tax consequences could be on that. And you can reach me, of course, on WADK.com, 1540 a.m. in Newport, Rhode Island, Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The Patty Gentile Show will be heard as well as replayed on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. And then we upload to my podcast on Mondays, the weekend show, Fighting the Good Fight with Patricia Gentile. Make sure you subscribe. And that comes without the commercials, by the way, so you'll enjoy the music as well as the content without the commercials. So make sure to subscribe and share. And I really appreciate you listening, and I look forward to next week. We've got a great expert guest on artificial intelligence, AI, and that'll be good information as well and a good topic. So thank you and have a great rest of the day, evening, and weekend. Take care.